You guys probably want to hear drops.
Most days.
You
Yes,
complain.
please.
Well, you complain when you can't, so.
I don't care.
Bullshit. You mention it every time I screw it up.
That's because you screw it up. That's why I mention it. If it was Ryan, I wouldn't care.
Actually, nothing you guys are saying to me is, wait, what just happened?
You broke it.
I broke something.
You did.
Good start to the night.
Hold on. Did I fix it now? There we go. Welcome to Beerfield. I am your host at Beerfield Hop with UP is Chris Hopper at Hop 134. I don't know, man. I don't really use X or Threads, so just enjoy the sultry, soft sounds of my voice. Joined by at Beerfield 30 at Ryan Miner underscore FFB at Beerfield on Twitter, X something. Hi, guys.
On X. Hello. Good evening. Good to see you guys. I missed you.
Aw,
we miss you too.
So many misses.
It's gonna be a short one tonight because, quite frankly, Dan's been traveling and I've been peopling, so that leads to a lot of tiredness. So,
peopling.
We got some news. We got some rumors from Rad Week One. We're not gonna try to do anything special. We're not gonna try to force it. So this should be brief. As we wrap towards preseason, have you guys done any before we jump into stuff? You guys done any redraft drafts yet?
Yes. I started Shane Barrett's charity league, which is for all timers. So, and that is a bigger 12 team super flex, three receiver or three flex on top of super flex, big draft. But
so
that one's, I'm in the middle of that one right now. I'm in the 12th round.
What do you guys noticed? Like anything surprising to you as you've gone through it? Dan, you're drafting with probably a bunch of analysts, so
I am
probably pretty chalk for you. Ryan?
Yeah, it's pretty chalk. But I just did one with Hutcherson Brown on Monday. He did like a friends and family one where it's like basically kids get involved.
I really liked, I think that was super cool of Hutchins to put on. That was really fun. I'd like to see the different age groups of the kids involved with it too. That was awesome from them.
That seems pretty cool.
It's cute too because it's a one QB league, but my son wanted Patrick Mahomes no matter what, so we took him first round. I'm like, dude, it's your team. Have fun with it.
Hell yeah, man.
Care, hell
you
yeah.
Know?
Do and it. If anyone dunks on him, be like, this is a kid. I will fucking kill you.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I was right.
There ain't dunking.
Right. No, I mean, not people in the league. I'm talking about people in the
social media.
People in the socials when those teams inevitably be, you know, get posted and stuff because, you know, there's a bunch of, you know,
I had Twitter one beeps last weekend where I learned day of that it was now a super flex league, but also that we got tight ends back.
Day of?
I didn't read the rules. And Brent didn't tell me he expected me to. He told other people that he didn't expect to read the rules, but he expected me to pay attention, and I didn't. So I'm like,
that's
wait,
funny.
This is super flex? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, wait, this is two kickers? Because apparently
two kickers?
It's two kicker league, and somebody took Tucker and like, or no, it was the audit. The computer took Tucker in the seventh round. And I'm like, why the fuck did auto pick do that? And he's like, it's a two kicker league. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, two kicker league. I'm like, my heart cannot take that. That is amazing. And then he also did something that kind of devalued the running back position a lot, is in you can't start a running back in your flex. You've got the super flex spot where you could start one, but then it's a wide receiver, tight end flex, and then a tight end spot with tight end premium. So it's so very, yeah.
I got a dynasty league that's been doing that. We're on year four.
Yeah.
It's a weird IDP mix too. It's basically, it's one run. And this is a single QB. Like, this is a old buddy of mine from Minnesota. He won't come off of off of that. But anyways, it's a mandatory one running back, one receiver, and then no mandatory tight ends. And then it's one, three flex, and then two wide receiver tight end flexes. So it really devalues running back, like fucked up a lot of shit during drafts. And
yeah, it did, because I can only start two. So I'm not really, you know, I'll get three, four guys deep, and then I'm pretty much done with running back, because
it devalues.
Yeah.
It devalues, it really values the higher end ones, because it makes you, because
makes
you can't
hit them. Yeah.
Makes you want to get those early, and then it really devalues the middle to later rounds when
you're
not really going to play them.
And then being tight end premium too. So, you know, you're driving that up. So that draft went interesting. Also, a bunch of people that hadn't done super flex. So once they saw quarterback runs happening, you had like, you know, there's normally your quarterback run of, you know, Mahomes and Allen and Hurts, and then probably Fields and Jackson, and then you get your top tier running backs in there, and then it starts to flip around after that.
Those are actually all, those are all one.
Yeah.
A QB runs in super flex this year is literally the first round.
That's exactly what it was.
It's
first round was all quarterbacks. There was no lull in it, and you're down to Herbert, Lawrence, like your top 10 quarterbacks are off the board in the first 12 picks.
Yeah.
Which and makes sense. You're out of starters by, because it's 14 team league too for us. So you're out of starters by round 7 or so. So
Jesus.
I guess that's why, I mean, there is going to be some points where you do have to start a running back in your super flex spot because of injuries and bye weeks and shit like that. But yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. It's a home league, so it was a good time. I got a couple more coming up, but you know, just quick chat there because I know we're in the heart of draft season. But all right, so news episode, it'll be quick. We're drinking, of course. I've actually been drinking. This is beer number 5 tonight, so it'll be all right.
It's okay.
I'm done after this.
It's okay. We're okay.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, Ryan, I saw what you had. Go ahead.
I did. Chrissy, and you can't say this is your last beer because you can't end on an odd number. You have to have at least one more after this one.
He said 5 already. Oh, no, that is beer 5.
This is beer 5.
Yeah. You gotta have 6. Got to even balance it, man.
If you drink 5 beers, you'll be haunted by your third ex in your dreams.
Yes.
You know how those chain goes in emails if you break it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those weird curses.
I'm drinking
trying to think of who that would even be.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it.
I mean, come on. It's like if I'm drinking, you know, 2 beers and I say I'm done because I have even numbers, so I'm good.
All right.
Oh god. I don't want that. I'm gonna have to drink another one. I don't want that. I just clicked.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, do 3. So yeah, you gotta have 4 then. Always gotta end an even number.
Always.
Anyways,
instead of
wasting time, I'm drinking Founders All Day IPA because I haven't had any time really to go to the store and buy beer because, well, I have had time. I've just been too lazy to go do it. And I was like, I'll just grab what's in my fridge.
Ryan. So, Ryan, really just laying it out there, what we all feel. Yeah, I'm just fucking too lazy. That's really why I'm just...
Yeah, it's like you don't have like spare 10, 15 minutes to go out to the store or stop in there? No, not at all.
No, not at all.
No, I just chose not to.
All right, I have Alarmist Brewery. They're out of Chicago, Illinois. I am drinking their Midwest Royalty Lager. Corn-fed Midwestern bread is what they call this. It's 4.7% American lager, brewed with corn. If you couldn't tell from the name, 2-Row and Good Intentions. So that's, I don't know what Good Intentions are, but corn and 2-Row. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
This is American lager.
More beer tastes like beer.
It is beer that tastes like beer. Dan?
It's seasonal dark because we're etching ever closer to Han Solo season. Okay. And for those of you that don't know what that means, go look it up. It's great. It's pumpkin spice. It's basicness. So, of course, I got to bring on a pumpkin ale to help kick off a beer that really doesn't get drank until, I don't know, 2 months from now.
Southern Tier?
Nope.
This is all their stuff dropped this week.
Yeah,
so
it does. It drops, yeah. Because I was in Kansas City, I totally got a Colorado beer. So
yeah.
It's totally not local to where I just was.
Great Divide. Awesome.
But this is a Great Divide. They're out of Denver, Colorado. I was able to have them a few times when I was out in Montrose, Colorado a couple weeks ago. At least at the airports and stuff. So this is their pumpkin ale. So it's a traditional pumpkin ale, which is generally going to be a brown ale of some sort. Sometimes you'll see it in porters, but most times you'll see it in a medium-ish body to let the spices hone through and not make it super filling. So a basic pumpkin ale is really just that. It's spices, which is typically going to be clove, cinnamon, some garlic, potentially, not garlic, I'm sorry, ginger every now and then. Garlic can be fucking weird. That'd be fucking wild. And then you'll get...
You might have just given me an idea.
I might have just given you an idea.
A vampire beer.
Yeah.
For Halloween now.
And then obviously your pumpkin spices, and then you'll get some hints of vanilla and brown sugar and lactose and stuff like that from the malt used and just from the spices used. So it's really is what it is. It makes you want to throw some whipped cream on there and throw on your favorite pair of Uggs.
I'm going to use garlic in a beer at some point.
You really should. I mean, I'm sure there is. People have made anything and everything inspired beer. So
oh, I know they have. Garlic bread inspired beer.
I've probably seen that too. Oh my God, I don't know if I want to. I mean, garlic horrible. Is like drinking a pickle sour. So there's just,
I get, you know, I'd have to do that for a festival, right? So that I
can
just dump it. Like, I'm not drinking 5 gallons of that shit if I do it.
I want to drink 16 ounces of it.
Not a chance. All right. There'll be enough people to try that.
Yeah.
All right. It's a news episode, so I'll at least do the drop. All right, we'll start it off on a sad note. Alex Collins has passed away at just 28 years old following a motorcycle accident. Former Ravens, Seahawks running back, and former waiver wire darling. But yeah, motorcycle accident for Alex Collins. So rest in peace to him.
Yeah, rest in peace on that, man.
Yeah, 2017 was kind of that.
He won leagues.
Over 1,000 total yards.
I had him.
Touchdowns. We all had him.
Yep.
But after the Justin Forsett thing, it was Alex Collins. May he rest in power. And prayers up to his family and friends that were close.
Yep. Ashton Doolin torn on ACL. It doesn't really matter for anything, but I think it's the first ACL tear of the season to a skill player, so we got to get that out of the way. Joe Mixon found not guilty of aggravated menacing following a traffic accident where he allegedly cut a woman off. She hit him and then he pulled a gun. The defense was not able to present any witnesses other than the woman herself. So, we're smoke, there's fire. There's a lot of this around Mixon, but nothing coming from that one. He still does have another pending legal issue going on right now.
Yep.
He still can.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just dodging it all.
When asked about Denzel Mims, Lions head coach Dan Campbell responded, "He's in the room. I wish I could tell you more."
Okay, Dan.
Oh, that's good.
Not exactly.
Oh man, just even in a room devoid of wide receivers because they're all suspended or hurt.
Yeah, right. Was it? He can't really even stick
out. He can't even stick out. He was
pick. And that's just it, right? You expect, like, this is a thin situation right now. Not only is Jameson Williams hurt, he's going to be suspended. You have opportunity here. That's what you'd hope for with Bims, is that new team, new opportunity. This does not sound good.
No, it does not.
Should be off your radar everywhere. Back injury for Terrace Marshall. That's going to have him down for a few weeks. As we're getting closer to week one, this is something you're going to want to watch. There is opportunity for Panthers receivers to, you know, kind of be in the wide receiver 2-3 type discussion. And, you know, you got a declining Adam Thielen. Terrace Marshall started to come on at the end of last season. Jonathan Mingo got some draft capital and, you know, good size, good athletic numbers. So, and I think DJ Chark. As well. So, yeah, you've got opportunity here that's waiting for somebody, and Marshall's a popular option, but it sounds like at minimum he'll probably miss the rest of the preseason since they're trimming it in weeks, and you got to pay attention to week one as well. So if your quarter was on Terrace Marshall, he could certainly be losing some ground there.
That's actually huge for Mingo, who was probably going to start on the bench. They don't have a lot of bigger outside receivers. Obviously, it's a big reason why they drafted him. Thielen's well got the size. He's old. He's been playing from the slot the past, you know, few years. Laviska Shenault's still there. You know, really who he is, and then just a class of people that no one gives a fuck about. So right. Chark and Mingo outside with Thielen in the slot role, sprinkled in some Shenault. This is good if you take in Mingo. You might see if he hits early, this is where he can really take off.
If you're about
And plus, Mingo's been starting to take off at practice, too. I just looked it up because I had to verify that I was correct on that. But, yeah, he's actually, like, he went from dropping the ball to actually catching it. So, that second-round draft value might
he went from not doing his job to doing his job. And I'm really glad he's doing his job at the highest level.
We like wide receivers that catch passes.
Yeah. I love wide receivers that can catch footballs.
Well, I know you listen to Matt Kelly and stuff, and he always talks about Jonathan Mingo and don't reach on him. So...
Kelly's got his super crusade going on for his two select players. I absolutely love Matt Kelly, but I haven't listened to a lot of podcasts
this whole year.
So,
and here's the thing, right? Yeah, don't reach, but you don't have to reach to get him. It's a late round flyer. So,
all right, we got a question.
Okay,
remember those?
I do. It's been a while.
Tyler, shout out Tyler. I'm not gonna lie, it's been the first question in a minute. It's dynasty question too. We're in the heart of redraft. Still wants dynasty. We love it. He's a rebuilder as we ever closer to the season. So this is a good time to start making some of these last minute moves as players' values become a little more entrenched and it'll take injuries to really change that. It's a super flex league rebuild. Okay. He's asking if he should move Higgins for either Zay Flowers or for Zay Flowers and then a mid to late 24 first or Flowers Bateman in a second. So basically it's Zay Flowers. It's a part of this deal. And then there is a mid to late 24 first involved or Bateman in a 24 second. So I'll go first.
So my answer is, first off, yes, on moving Higgins. And for I would go out of those two scenarios, I would go Flowers in the first. I don't want to be, one, I don't want to be overexposed to Ravens. Two, that first gives me a little bit more flexibility, draft capital's currency. I'm going to have more flexibility out of that first round pick than I'm going to have out of Rashad Bateman, either to use it in future trades or to use it to, you know, actually fill out another need. So I would always rather have, you know, I also think you're going to get more value out of that first round pick than you are Rashad Bateman. So I'm Flowers in the first for Higgins. I think that's fair value. And on a rebuilding team, I'm absolutely okay with moving on from T.
Ryan.
100% agree moving out from T. Higgins, because we see T. Higgins as of that wide receiver in the Joe Burrow offense with Ja'Marr Chase. And I just don't see him being that same type of player if he ever leaves Cincinnati. So getting Zay Flowers and the way his camp report's been going, the way he's been producing, he has that wide receiver alpha in him. And he's had a good offense. And plus getting that mid to late first, a first round is a first round pick. So if I can get it, and just like Hopper said, you know, that's good trade pieces you can still use to even help trade up or trade around. So great, definitely points. Do that. Yeah, do that. Especially over Bateman in the second, because with Bateman, he's been injured so often. You're hoping that Bateman that we were seeing a couple of years ago during preseason before he got hurt is that Bateman that comes back, but we don't know if that's actually going to be what we get this season.
Yeah, so I love all these players involved stuff. The problem, the biggest issue with this is not knowing what Cincinnati's going to do with Higgins. Ryan hit it on the head. It's this is almost the best spot for Higgins, right? Yeah. He's in a high powered offense. It's going to be this that looks like it wants to build this core around Higgins, Chase, and Burrow, right? And we know that two wide receivers can be hyper productive in this offense. We also know Higgins will never be able to reach true wide receiver one top echelon because of Ja'Marr Chase. So he does have a cap to ceiling, but I mean, at that point, it is what it is. Flowers is having a standout training camp at this point. It's been talked up a shit ton, and his value is ever rising. Bateman's actually had a schedule from what it sounds like.
An injury.
For whatever that's worth. As Ryan mentioned, and I believe Hopper as well, he can't stay healthy. So it's one of those risks you take. It's basically how you feel about the Ravens offense. Do you want to invest into two dart throws and get a second? Or do you want to take a risk on just one of them that Mendeley first, right now we're not going to know what happens. I would probably go Flowers in the first. I'm with you three. As much as I love Bateman, I think having the flexibility, as Hopper mentioned, with 24 firsts and being able to move that around as a rebuild, you don't want to just lock yourself into draft picks. You want to be able to move yourself and use the currency that it is, instead of just the pick itself, to kind of get the players you want or get the team you want to, build in yourself to. Also, please have in mind how long of a rebuild you want to build into. You want to do a year or 2 year, that could really change how you value these picks too. So
thank you for the question. It changed. I want to say you kicked off another thought on the pick. So sorry to cut you off there.
No, you're good.
The thing with the pick is that the pick's the pick, right? The value of that 2024 first is not going to change significantly between now and then. It's not going to go up. It's not going to go down. You're looking at Bateman. I think, the loss right now, I think he's valued probably a little bit lower than that pick is anyway.
Super flex. He's probably worth a second.
Yeah. And that definitely, if there's another poor showing this year, loses value. I think the opportunity for his value to go much higher with Flowers and Odell there is pretty capped. So you have insulated value in that pick, even if you do only want to do a 1 year rebuild. It's 2023 right now, so that's the next year first. You have insulated value in that pick. The value in Bateman, I would almost bet that's going to be a stock down situation. You're watching most of the season versus stock up, given what you're stacked against. So you get more protection out of that pick too.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Moving on from Terrace Marshall paid. So a couple of big running back things to talk about, which I figure will be probably the bulk of this episode. Patriots signed Zeke Elliott to a 1 year deal worth up to $6 million. Traditionally a multi-back team. I do think this, but a lot of debate on what this does to Ramondre. Does it kill him? No. Does it drop him out of the surefire running back 10 to 12 range? Yeah, probably drops him into more like a 15, 16 range. We've seen Ramondre be productive. He had Damian Harris there last year, right?
Yeah.
So last couple of years. So we know he can produce at a high level with somebody else around, especially if Zeke is going to fill that Damian Harris role. It's not a big money deal. It's up to $6 million. So it's incentivized. We don't know how much he has left. Doesn't kill Ramondre. Do not overreact to this. If you're a fan of Ramondre Stevenson, you faded a little bit, but I think maybe this drops Ramondre, 3 to 5 spots as far as where I have him in my running back valuations. It doesn't kill him by any means. We've seen him produce with another back around. Zeke is not going to be the focal point. He's going to be a nice piece of this. He's going to slide in probably to RB3 type value on a team that I expect is going to run a decent amount given the lack of talent at the receiver position.
I mean, if you were I was never on the Ramondre Stevenson, you know, RB1 train to begin with, top 12. Look, New England's been linked to every other, any and other fucking veteran back. It was only a matter of time that they were going to bring someone in because they don't want to overload Stevenson.
You probably had him more. He slowed down based on this.
He started off hot last year. He slowed down towards the end of last season. It was very obvious that this team didn't want to front overload him this year. They're relying on him and his ability, not even running the football, but as a pass catcher. He was fourth in receptions last year. That is his role. Zeke does not catch footballs, will not be asked to catch footballs. I have absolutely zero interest in Zeke. This will not be a high-powered offense. There will not be a lot of scoring opportunity. And in fact, Zeke will be his inefficient self, but you know that he was in Dallas over the last 3 years on a significantly worse offense.
Yeah,
it's really just hurts the touchdown upside of Stevenson because there's a good chance they take him out on short yardage situations and maybe even goal and goal. But you'll see him more in and on. I think, I don't know if you'll see more as pass catches, but you'll know that he's always in the mix for that. He should have always been a mid RB2 with decent upside. If New England does take off as an offense, which I'm not really banking on, but that's just me.
The other thing is that you talk about him, Brian, we'll call you here in a second, but you talk about him a lot as a pass catcher. The other thing I want to point out is how good Stevenson is through contact. And that's been a 2-year thing, right? Yards after contact per attempt, Zeke is at 1.5 and hasn't been over 2 since 2020. Ramondre Stevenson is 2.9 yards after
one full yard.
Yeah, he's almost a full yard ahead of him. Rushing yards after contacted, he's 2.1. Zeke's at 1.5. Attempts per broken tackle, 25.7 per Zeke. It's 8.8 for Ramondre. So he's much, much better through contact than Zeke is as well.
He should be at this point in their careers. He absolutely should be. Zeke's gotten fucking 10,000 bajillion carries at this point. Yeah, there's no way that
he's better than Zeke has ever been. Zeke's career best at attempts per broken tackle is 12.5. Ramondre's single digits. So just another thing to keep in mind that Ramondre is really, really good through contact. Zeke is not. That yards before contact per rushing attempt at 2.9 for Stevenson is also higher than Zeke's ever been. His career high is 2.5. So, just things to keep in mind there as well as you weigh that. It's not just pass catching that Ramondre is better at. He's actually a better runner too.
Yeah, better at everything.
Zeke will still have his role. Again, the whole idea of this is to reduce the amount of unnecessary carries for him.
Exactly.
Zeke's going to be a thorn. He's going to be Jamal Williams, but on a significantly less in scoring offense. That will basically, in my opinion, be Zeke.
Mm-hmm. I'm at center.
This one.
Wait a minute, center.
He can really eat them. He can block for Stevenson.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, you had to look at it, though, like, are we surprised that Bill Belichick did something like this? It's
no, it's been telegraphed all fucking offseason.
But look what's behind him. Like, once you get rid of Damian Harris, the writing was on the wall. They were going to get another running back. It didn't matter who they were going to get. They were going to get someone. Yep. So, like, we had to expect this to happen.
Yep. Should not be double counting this move. You should have already been baking this in.
Yeah. And where I'm at. I'll buy the dip on Ramondre Stevenson.
And Harris was only a 115 touch guy. Ramondre was up close to, was it like 280 or something? So they just don't want Stevenson handling the ball 300 times a season. That's all this is.
That's not what he's, I think he's got the size to do it. It's just not what you want him to do. Yeah. You want him more fresh, especially because he's 230. He's got the big BM. He's got the bigger size. Having him a little more fresh, a little less of those unnecessary hits.
Yes.
Make the man eat in the fourth quarter.
Belichick's not going to give it up, man. He wants to win with a good defense and just running the ball.
Yeah, I can't wait for he's out of New England.
Indeed. Anything else on that?
No.
Perfect. Strained LCL for Treylon Burks. He's going to be sidelined for a few weeks. So, I mean, not his stock was way down anyway, but something to keep an eye on there. Jonathan.
He sprained his LCL while catching a touchdown. in the red zone.
He's had a really good training camp. It was unfortunate he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the Vikings, too. So
he is somebody
too much on the deep catch.
He is somebody you're looking to see take another step, but it's a low volume offense.
Yeah.
And he's going to be losing reps. So
it'll be him and Hopkins. One of those.
And that's going to be it. It's
yeah.
Be him and
why are you buying in Tennessee's offense? It's not Derrick Henry, anyways. So
you shouldn't be.
Right.
Jonathan Taylor left Colts camp for a personal reason. The absence is excused. Things are looking more dire for Taylor the further we get into training camp and the closer we get to the regular season. Like Dobbins is holding in. Okay, fine. Jacobs has his contract thing. Okay, fine. Like I'm legitimately worried about Jonathan Taylor health-wise heading into the season. It's still getting treatment on the ankle. The contract situation is fucked. He's away from the team now for personal reasons. We don't know what's going on. That could be anything. Like, yeah, I'm.
The dip's happening.
So big, yeah. But the risk is so high as well that you're going to see a dip.
He was a classic first rounder, I think, in just scouring around Twitter and stuff. It's, I think, third. I've seen people talk about him in the third now in single, like even in single QB leagues where it's.
Which you gladly take
value.
That,
I mean, that's
game is your second. That's value.
Yeah,
but
that's fine. Oof. I wouldn't rely on him in a hero RB situation though, where you're building your running back core around him,
right?
Even in the third, which is a good value.
Yep. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Running backs for you.
Anything else there, Ryan?
It just makes me think of like Foo Fighters. There goes my hero. If you try playing hero running back and Jonathan Taylor never plays.
Wow. Yeah. Love it. Oh, it's a great song.
Russell Gage gonna miss the entire 2023 season after suffering a non-contact leg injury, so he's out. Aaron Rodgers dealing with a calf injury, suffered in practice on Tuesday, which apparently really impacted his efficiency. I'm not too worried about that at this point, but it's negative about Aaron Rodgers, so I'm all for that.
We love it. All right, Tyler's got another question. This one's pretty simple. Who do you prefer, Trey or Zay Flowers, Quinn Johnson?
Flowers.
Johnston.
Johnston.
Flowers for me.
Why Flowers?
Because Johnston is a profile that we have seen bust a lot over recent years. He's a big-bodied receiver that I agree has a ton of talent, and there's upside there, but he's also raw. That's what Bateman was. Injuries, okay, fine, mark that off to the side, whatever. Burks, jury's still out, but a few years ago you had N'Keal Harry doing that, you had Mike Williams that was thought of as that a lot. And while I like the upside of Johnston, I always aim for higher floor. That's just kind of my thing. And I think Flowers at worst has a role, right? It's not outright you're the big downfield guy or you're gone. And I think there's risk associated with Johnston that has Flowers ahead of him. Are they the same tier for me? Sure. But when you're talking to me about preference, I prefer Flowers over Johnston. That's just personally me. That's how I operate. But there's a profile with Johnston that is not always, it doesn't have a high degree of success, even though when it does hit, the rewards are pretty great.
All right, you argue
for Johnston. I just like his opportunity in this offense just because of the way Keenan Allen and Mike Williams have both been injured on and off, especially last season. But I see him more as the replacement for Mike Williams when he goes down. But he can also fill in as that Josh Palmer role that we've always liked, that everyone was super high on last year, and it just, you know, fell flat in our faces and didn't work out. And he's been having a tremendous camp. He hasn't been doing body catches like everyone thinks he does. He's actually been doing hand catches. I think he's actually going to be a good red zone piece. Yeah. And with the way this offense is going to throw, they were number two in the NFL just behind Tampa Bay. Who says they're not going to be the number one team in passing? So
they could be. And you get Justin Herbert's 3.5% touchdown rate with it. Yay.
Yeah, but Johnson's target opportunity is better than I think what Flowers can get this season.
Thing,
yeah.
Oh,
I don't
right.
know.
Okay, but go beyond this season now, right? I mean, this is, he asked about Dynasty. I'm assuming this is another Dynasty question. So go beyond this season.
I will here before you guys see your rebuttals. This is in reference to his question before, obviously, about the picks. It's probably just shopping Higgins to see. Based on where you think the first is going to lie in, will greatly dictate whether I want Flowers or Johnson in this deal. I didn't put that first because I wanted you guys to argue your point. Both in the same tiers. Johnson's on the better offense, should be better offense. 3.5% doesn't feel like it's Herbert's norm.
I think that's going to go up anyway. Ridiculously low last season, but that is going to go up.
And Bateman is not of the profile of Johnston. That I will argue. Bateman is a significantly better route runner and separator.
That's also true. Productive. But my point still stands, right? I might have thrown the great example yeah. there, but my point still stands, right? That's a profile that has a high bust potential with high reward potential. That's just not how I roll.
If I'm leaning today as Flowers, it's the type of receiver Flower is, right? The type of receiver that Flowers is, it's been growing in is growing in their overall production because of how the wide receiver position has evolved since all the rules have changed. You can't put your hands on guys. So guys that are super fast, even though they're small, are very shifty, can good create space. Separation instantly. Yep. The biggest caveat is that who is this Baltimore? Like, what is this Baltimore offense? A lot of changes have been made. You also bring in Odell. You have a healthy Bateman come back. I don't think either of these receivers are going to produce heavily in year one. I do lean Flowers producing more this year because it's competition to beat out. It's a lot easier off the injured Bateman and the newly required Odell. I don't see Johnson taking over the wide receiver one spot from Keenan Allen. I think he could beat out Mike Williams because Williams has been, from injuries aside too, but he's also been transitioning more into a flanker, a possession type of role. He's not their deep threat. Johnson will be what Mike Williams was when he first got drafted, a boundaries receiver that will win 50-50s, and he's paired with a quarterback that can absolutely get it done in that department. So it will not surprise me if Johnson blows up. It's just because they're so close for me, it's what first you can get in this deal with Higgins, or when you're trading Higgins away, that you think will be better. That's really where I'm at. I'm fine with both. I like them both. I want them both for Dynasty.
Yeah. So for what it's worth, the best comparable for Quentin Johnston is Josh Doctson. Speaking of receivers of profile,
Doctson, Rashad Pyramon, it's all these big, fast boundary.
Yeah.
Now, what? Do you have guys like Higgins, who's also based on, he was the same kind of guy. He hit. Yeah, guys like Alshon Jeffrey also hit.
Dez was one of them. They can't hit, and that's what I mean. When they hit, it's good. But you have, when they don't, they're just bouncing around the league and washed out. Whereas if somebody like Flowers doesn't hit, him not hitting, I think, looks different than if Johnston doesn't hit.
Him not hitting is probably Baltimore's offense.
And
maybe we'll finally get an answer about Lamar as a passer
with Todd Monken at OC, right? And so there you go. It's we all have them in the same tier, so you're not going to get strong arguments on one over the other. But it's
this isn't obvious.
One to Johnston. This is not. Yeah. It's a good question because it's not it's not a super obvious answer, right? It's both guys are similar in nature as far as where they're ranked. They're different in size. They're different in how they play. I think the floors are different. The upsides are similar, though, which is why they're there.
Yeah, and maybe you can get, just given the rise in Flowers hype, especially recently, and with Johnston having a pretty poor preseason game, and they get multiple drops, we might be able to get more involved with Johnston and be able to get a 24 first plus something else. So also with this as a rebuild, you want to
do your shopping. Yeah. And take your lottery tickets, but draft picks are where it's at.
And you don't have to move these guys now too. As you get closer to the season, you'll have a lot more information on where these picks are going to land. And if Higgins blows up, you're going to get a lot more.
Well, that's the thing about Higgins' upside being capped, though. What are the odds that he? I think he's pretty.
This offense could produce top two. This offense could easily produce two top 12 receivers.
Sure, like, but
absolutely. Oh, easily.
And so Higgins right now is valued as a very, very high wide receiver too in dynasty right now.
Anyways. Right, he's top 15, and that's what I'm saying. Right, he's top 15, but he was top 15 last year. Right, so your value there is already baked in. I don't see it going up a lot from where it's at. It's also not going to go down. I'm just saying Higgins,
if he starts off hot, it's definitely
Higgins isn't
rise.
Somebody I think of, maybe it's just personal opinion, but Higgins isn't somebody I think of as, you know, a wait and see, because I don't think the value is going to change that much on where Higgins is. You might go plus or minus three or four spots, but I don't think it's going to change all that much.
Well, I think it's more so what you're going to potentially get for him. If, like, even if he starts out slow, he has baked in value because of the team he's played for and the production he's had. And I don't think many people are expecting him to get a deal done this year. Like, no, he'll get his deal done next year. It's really going to be, you know, pick and choosing your rookies that maybe not, you know, fire off right away, and you can load up on a bunch of, you know, upside pieces plus draft picks, right? I still think there's room to grow for Higgins in value. If he starts off hot, he could be in the range of Devonta Smith and Waddle for your team's wide receiver two spots. Like, is it capped? Absolutely. I don't think he's ever taken over Chase, but we know that these values rise throughout. And a team like Cincinnati, which is hyper productive, like, people could buy into that heavily more than they probably should.
Indeed.
But anyways, yeah,
we can go anyway. On. All right. Taking it back to the new set of things. Colts head coach Shane Steichen has named Anthony Richardson the team's week one starter.
Heck yeah.
Boom. What do I owe you again? I don't remember.
I have to look it up real quick. I'll look real quick while you're talking.
I don't remember what I
It was some beer, right? You're supposed to drink something shitty.
Am I supposed to drink something shitty, or am I just sending him beer?
That's what I'm gonna look up. I remember
sending beer. I know it was beer. Like, I thought it was they're supposed to just drink a shitty beer or something.
Oh,
that was
well,
shitty. That was a bad pour.
It's easy enough.
But yeah, not surprising. The Colts have a lot to. The Colts
have a lot riding on that draft capital.
Yeah, and I fucking love Minshew, and I think he's better than some of the starting quarterbacks in the league right now. So maybe you'll get a shot at some point. But just given the landscape of the AFC, the rise of the AFC South, you need to see what you have in Richardson. And I agree. I've always agreed with this, at least over the past 3 or 4 years, that waiting on a guy like Richardson, it's going to be like you're risking Trey Lance levels of disappointment at this point. You need to, you know, get him out there and see what the fuck you have, and then be able to pivot off quickly. That's I understand why you wait. It's not like he's waiting behind a Aaron Rodgers level player. It's him versus a journeyman quarterback that just happen to very much love.
That's fair. My worry with guys that are raw is you don't want the mental side of the game to creep up and get them.
He played at Florida. I think he should be fine.
Well,
he's inexperienced.
Sparingly, though, right? And that's the thing, right? People struggle. Like, Stroud and Young are going to struggle to adjust to the NFL. Lawrence, who's all world prospect, struggled to adjust to the Urban Meyer didn't help that, but struggled to adjust to the NFL. So for a guy that's raw, I just don't, you know, that is hella talented as Richardson is, you know, for me, it's like, I want them to get some of that seasoning first and have a little bit more time for things to settle down before they get thrown in there. That's down the table for that.
Yep.
But I also completely see your point. Like, if it's not going to hit, it's not going to hit. They're going to have a good draft pick next year in what should be a strong quarterback class. So you want to be able to pick up that.
We could see a Josh Rosen type of situation.
Titans with Malik Willis.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I'm saying a first round quarterback, one of these three quarterbacks. I don't know. Like, you could see a Josh Rosen scenario if one of those three teams, not the Panthers, because they don't have their first. But where your concern lies with Justin Fields, they you know, finished this poorly, and they staring, you know, Drake May or Caleb Williams in the face, better prospects than any of these quarterbacks this year, in my opinion, you can get.
Quite honestly, with Chris Ballard's job on the line right now, because he's on the hot seat. If you're indie,
it's been then, so up and down as whoops. If I yeah. think he's good or not. It's been weird.
Yeah, but with his job on the hot seat, right? Like,
yeah,
if they end up with a regime change, that could be huge too. So.
Not to mention with the comments of Irsay, like, yeah. good luck bringing valuable veterans in when you made it very clear that loyalty uh-huh. means nothing to you.
Yep. Ryan, did you find it?
I did find it, yes.
What's the bet?
So the bet is a 4-pack of show beer.
There you go. Cylon beer.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a 4-pack of beer. Okay. We'll make that happen in the coming weeks. Sometime before the end of the season, I'll get it. Let's see. Breece Hall is back at practice, still dealing with occasional soreness as he builds it back up. More on the Jets in a minute. Vikings news. Rookie kicker Jack Podlesny, former Georgia kicker, is competing with Greg Joseph for the team's kicker job. Also, TJ Hockenson is back at practice after sustaining an ear infection.
And Addison had...
Addison's in concussion protocol.
Concussion protocol.
Yeah, and for some reason, Jalen Reagor is the wide receiver 4 on that team.
So yesterday, my home league does a rookie draft for auction players. Yeah, so like we get like the first 12 rookies based on like Fantasy Pros ADP.
Sure.
As like 50 cents, and then after that, it's 20 cents. So I had the 7th pick, and I'm thinking, man, I would try to do everything I could to get out of that pick because I didn't want it. I'm like, I'm trying to like bundle picks. I'm trying to get more picks. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm not going to get anyone good here. I'm like, I want A-Chain, but it's like, how much more A-Chain do I really want? I haven't bound it from them. And then I'm watching the draft go. And who falls to me at 7? Addison. I could not pass it up.
Oh, man. Love it. Talking about the most productive rookie receiver, if he can remain healthy, it will be Madison. He will be in conversations as a top 20 receiver next year. Just because of the volume he's going to get this year.
I love it.
Yeah, whatever depth there may be by. I mean, he may not get to start right away, which should be asinine, but he will be productive this year for sure.
All right, speaking of the Jets, they signed running back Dalvin Cook, 1-year deal, $8.6 million. He's still a week away from being able to practice. This kills Carter.
This kills anybody. Well...
About a comment.
Yeah. About it. It's the Breece situation. It's so fucking weird. Trying to like play this out. Like based on how much money they gave Cook.
Cook's gonna have a role.
Well, yeah. I think he'll start. I think this gives Jets the breathing room on Breece Hall.
It does. And it also protects them if Breece, like so many running backs coming off of an ACL, ends up with a hamstring issue midway through. Because that seems to always be the thing that, you know, misses a couple weeks.
This may be the reason why that he won't have it. It's because he's not rushing back into.
They ease him back in.
Yeah. But somebody else is going to also be involved in this offense at running back. If they're going to ease back Hall, depending on what Hall's health is, and that'll maybe be like Carter or Bodicon. Like it.
For at least the first 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah.
And which means that I don't want anyone on this team besides Breece Hall. And I'll buy the Breece tip because Breece is, at their points in their careers, a significantly better running back than Cook in all facets of the game. And he should be, once he's ramped up, I think he absolutely will be a top 5 back rest of the season.
And you're going to be talking about him as top 3 next
year.
He's
a third round. If there is a target for a hero RB pick that you can kind of survive those first few weeks, it's fucking Breece.
And it's a hell of a keeper pick, especially in leagues that give you original round draft capital or that only increment it right now. If he's going as a 6th round pick, it's a guy that could be a top 3 running back that you can nail as a keeper. So
it's by the dip on Breece Hall. Though he's back and there's that straight line video that he looks like he's up to full speed. He's not making any cuts, so it doesn't really mean anything. I expect his value to rise.
There's a video of him cutting too.
Yeah, he's probably cutting because his value is back, right, but there's soreness there. And if they do
it now because it'll be there probably in like 2 days. Yeah.
Just roll with it.
We're in the third week of August, which is like the typical heavy redraft draft, you know, leagues. So
And his legs look symmetrical, so there's no like different in size. So,
and it's the Jets, man. I hope they fail so miserably, though. Fuck them.
But oh yeah, I mean they're pushing
so hard
for that
Super Bowl. I will root for Breece Hall and for Garrett Wilson, but I want that team to just be complete fucking dog shit.
You just want Rodgers to be dog shit.
I do, but it's this anointment of them, and it's like, does Rodgers at this point in his career make him that much better than the fucking rest of the AFC?
If it was a more likable quarterback, I would be more bought in. Yeah,
true, right? But it's also a very difficult division in the AFC.
But no, a 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers does not.
A 40-year-old. He's not even. Yeah.
He's 39 right now, right?
Either way.
Yeah.
It's
in any event, yeah. It doesn't annoy the Jets.
They're not making. I'm betting on them not making the playoffs.
And there's rumors of them making that contract room for Bakhtiari to come from Green Bay to the Jets. Now
see,
too.
Shit like this, just like it's gonna blow up. Sorry, in their face. It's gonna blow up in their face.
More trouble.
I hope so.
Earth.
I hope so. It'd be so
the Jets
funny.
Will just Robert Saleh will lose his job because now he's tied. This is like
what sucks is I like Robert Saleh.
I know, right? This is like Brad Childress tying his career to Brett Favre. When the Vikings brought in, Favre after the 2008 season, this basically tied him to that, right? You were tethering yourself to a hyper-aging quarterback who is not nearly what he was. And good luck winning the AFC East, better alone trying to get yourself into the playoffs. Like, it's a good team, but
they'll be competitive.
There's a
in
lot
the
of good. Oh yeah, they'll absolutely.
They'll be competitive they'll be top, in the East, they're and they're probably going to be a wild card team. They're going to be a playoff team, but
I don't think they will be.
I think
they'll be the best third place team in that division.
I think they're third best. I think Miami's better.
All right, let's look at it because you've got three.
You got two
Bills,
wild cards now, right?
Dolphins, three. Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos potentially with that defense and the rising. You have the Bengals, the Ravens, Pittsburgh for some fucking reason continues to be a fringe playoff team.
Pittsburgh ain't going in.
They shouldn't, but for some fucking reason they do. I don't think the Browns will improve enough. But and then obviously the South is just the Jaguars. I don't think
it's gonna be.
Team, yeah.
So you get
nine teams, I think. Nine.
So you get seven.
Yeah, nine.
Buffalo. So for me, it's Buffalo, Miami, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Kansas City, the Chargers.
That's seven right there.
Yeah.
Then you got Broncos.
And then you're going to have, I mean, really, it's going to be the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Jets fighting for one spot. So
and there's always that surprise team. New England got in 2 years ago. Who knows? I don't think they will, but the conference is so tough.
Yep.
Oh, good luck to you, Jets.
Have
fans.
Fun.
It might be a long season, or it might be great. He might be fooling everyone.
Competitive and disappointing. moving on.
Yeah.
The Browns passing game has been completely unimpressive in training camp. For the
I
athletic.
Love this.
This is a rumor
so
section.
I'm
love
so
this
happy.
Too because
I'm so
fuck
happy.
Deshaun Watson.
I'm
not
so
happy for Amari Cooper or DPJ. I like
I'm fine with them. But, and all the buzz to Cedric Tillman apparently too now.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Big
not
huge.
That either.
Oh man, I want the Browns to suck. Any and everyone that was a part of bringing Deshaun Watson in leaves, I will be a Browns fan again.
I want them to just
right now. I want them to fucking fail.
Eat that shit forever
and have what might be the worst contract in not sports history, but pretty close.
It's not great.
Just make them start Dorian Thompson Robinson over Deshaun Watson just to make us all feel happy again.
They're doing that. In the preseason.
He is like he's so loved. DTR is like, yeah, it's so like universally everyone loves DTR.
And he gets to start week two of the preseason, so that'd be cool.
He's going to start over Watson week one.
I hope Watson sucks.
I hope Watson never, I hope he just tanks and fucks
up. And also, I totally buy into this, by the way. Like, if we're buying or selling this news, I totally buy this one. Because it didn't look good at the end of last season either.
It's just like he got better. And then he just never reached anywhere near his Houston peak days. He sucked. It got a little bit better. And then it just, that was it. Like he's basically a journeyman quarterback.
No.
And the Browns are now paying an astronomical amount of guaranteed money.
Fully guaranteed.
Is like significantly worse Kirk Cousins situation.
Yep.
Except if you haven't watched the QB yet, Cousins might be the most liked quarterback at the end of everything. Because my God, is he so likable in that show?
Quarterbacks?
Yeah. On Netflix.
Yeah. Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill are splitting first team reps in J.K. Dobbins' absence at Ravens camp. So, little note there on a couple guys who will probably be relevant at some point this year, given how Ravens backs go.
Welcome back.
The Athletic is predict. So this is another buy sell. That Mitchell and Justice Hill thing was just an FYI as we monitor the Dobbins situation.
Yeah.
Another buy or sell one though. The Athletic is predicting 170 touches this season for Tyler Allgeier versus 301 for Bijan in a run heavy offense. And this is more of an Allgeier question. At 170 touches, that does make him late round draftable.
He's flex.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's flex. So do you believe that Tyler Allgeier is going to see that amount of volume? It is a run heavy offense that they're going to run that they're going to give 470 touches to their running backs.
Well, that I buy.
Yeah.
But do you watch Bijan run the football? You watch Bijan be who we know Bijan to be. And you watch Tyler Allgeier be who we think Tyler Allgeier is. How the fuck do you take Bijan off the field? Like,
you can't.
This is Derrick Henry. This is a 400 touch potential rookie season. Like, they will fuck him up for five years, and you move him on.
And that puts Allgeier in a straight change of pace role and nothing more. So,
in like a weak change of pace, it won't even be fun.
You know, he's one of those guys where it's kind of like an old school handcuff situation. If Bijan were to miss a week or two, you're absolutely running Allgeier out there as a running back too. But until that
this
happens,
it's like Dalvin Cook and Madison, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Or what Khalil Herbert was with David Montgomery, right?
Well, it's even post that it was great because Herbert was significantly what's
this year, but previous years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the situation is. It's, I don't think you can project 170 touches to Tyler Allgeier. Not with Bijan there.
It's the right
210 last year, though.
It's the right division to do it in because it should be a dog shit show.
Well, it's the right coach to predict it with, too.
Well,
with
that,
Arthur
too.
Like, but he's also totally fine giving Derrick Henry 380, 390 touches, right? You think he's not going to do that with Bijan?
Right, yeah. It's going to be that situation where they're going to be down by, like, 30 points in the game and just going to keep running the football.
The only Tennessee back that's been relevant not named Derrick Henry in years was Deonta Foreman because Derrick Henry was hurt.
I'll dare you. Bismarck, Jeremy McNichols.
Wah, wah. That backfired.
All right, Deuce Vaughn hype, leading the Cowboys with 80 yards on 12 touches, getting some coaching praise for that. That is a thing to watch, in my opinion.
He looks like Rolls. He looks like Cohen if Cohen didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
He is shift. I know he's shifted. We saw it on film, but.
Yeah, he's even.
He looks.
He's going to be used. He is a guy that you should take late round. He is going to be used, and Tony Pollard is not, like some of the other guys, Tony Pollard is not built for 350 touches, right?
And
Deuce is going to get used.
Should he get it?
No.
And there's not a lot of significantly great options. I mean, they lost Schultz. They brought in Cooks, but 30
Which
years
is
old.
Fine.
Old.
You got,
Gallup's in his final year.
He has drop problems.
And it's also coming off he's further removed from his ACL injury. But
well, and Malik
Deuce
Davis
is explosive as shit.
And Malik Davis may not even make roster. So I mean, look, it's
and Zeke's not coming back, which was
Zeke
rumored
coming back, right? So this is Deuce's
it's
game,
gonna be
right?
Fournette now. Yeah.
You're gonna get Pollard and Deuce mixed together, and that is good news for Deuce Vaughn, who's going late.
He should absolutely be rostered in all redraft leagues. He's a 10th round or later. I would even, if I'm spiteful, if I'm building a hero ball roster, any roster really, even 9th round, like you want, get your hands on some Deuce Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario without the mushroom.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's so shifty.
Yeah.
Baker May, Bucks quarterback battle update. Baker Mayfield 8-9, 63 and a touchdown. Kyle Trask 10-6 of 10 for 99, a touchdown and a pick. So mixed bag? Question mark.
Baker starts week one, but
Baker starts week one. I'm fairly certain of that.
It's that offense. I don't know.
Yeah,
Rashad White.
Another depth piece that we're paying attention to, or another cheat piece we're watching here, is what goes on in Houston. You know, now that they've got CJ Stroud, but with the wide receiver position in Tank Dell, got some coaching praise after catching 5 of 8 for 65 and a touchdown. So, you know, a lot of preseason performances you can write off, but in these positions where there are legitimate battles, seeing somebody perform that has also had smoke around them in camp, you have to pay attention to. So Tank Dell, guess what? You got to pay attention to this, because that wide receiver room in Houston is an aging out Robert Woods, and Tank Dell and John Metchie, who missed his entire rookie year, so doesn't really have an experience advantage. I still like Metchie quite a bit, but he's dealt with injuries too. So, you know, if Tank Dell's getting some smoke around him here this offseason, or in, you know, preseason, yeah, he's undersized, but so is Isaiah McKenzie, so is Jamison Crowder, right? So pay attention to this if this continues, because he's another one you could be looking at for a late flyer.
I like it, even though he's going against second and third string defenses in that mm-hmm. series, but we'll take it.
But you can build on top of that, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Especially on a really thin wide receiver room.
Yeah, like you can throw him on your roster. If you have deep enough benches, you don't have to let him go. He's one of those end of bench stashes. It may take him a bit of the year to get himself ramped up, to get him going in that offense. Houston is a complete wild card for what they'll be from an offensive standpoint, just given the massive amount of changes they've made. Also, no first round pick for dynasty purposes. So, oofta. But it's a thin room, right? Should really not take him on. It should not take him on if he's making splashes to continue to get those reps. As long as he can take advantage of the reps he's gained from this, especially when he moves up and he faces more first team defenses.
Agreed. All right, beer reviews, and we'll call it a show.
All right.
Beer review.
All right, we'll go reverse order of how we introduced him. So, Dan, how's it going?
Again,
pumpkin.
Great Divide pumpkin ale. Great Divide out of Denver, Colorado. This is a traditional pumpkin ale. So, brown ale with a bunch of different spices mixed in with some vanilla. It's if you like pumpkin anything, this is a good choice. It's that it may be August, but we're in that part of the season. You're going to start seeing a lot of these pop up in your favorite liquor stores and start seeing them on draft at your favorite sports bars. So if you like pumpkin and you see it on there and you haven't tried it yet, I would recommend giving it a whirl.
All right. For me, I had Midwest Royalty Lager from Alarmist. It's a good flavorful lager. You definitely get some of the sweetness from the corn in here. It's got a nice grainy backbone to it. It's not a light lager by any means, but it has that craft take to it. It's an American lager, but you know, it drinks more flavorful than what, you know, a full flavored Coors does, or a full flavor, well, Budweiser's Rice, so that doesn't really count, but like a full flavored Coors or a full flavored Miller. Just real easy, nice little hot bitterness. I mean, it's a lager, right? There's not a lot to say about that when they're done well. It's clean, it's drinkable, it's got a good kind of grain character to it. The corn definitely lends some impression. It's clear, like very, very crushable beer. I would totally have a fridge full of these.
Speaking of having crushable beers, I had Founders All Day IPA. It's a Sessions. It's not like a true IPA, so it's very light, very drinkable. It's easy flowing, so that's why they call it all day, because it's something you can drink all day long, every day. And it's very light on the stomach too, where compared to like a heavier beer, I don't get as full, but I could drink a lot more of these than I can a heavier beer, which doesn't make it healthier for you, as we've debunked in past episodes. So definitely easy.
Indeed.
Nope, just lighter and easier to drink. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Well, wait, light on a session IPA is just alcohol related, though. It's not light in calories. It's just the alcohol, bud.
Yeah, it's like 4.
4%.
Yeah,
that's 4.2.
That's what makes it session. It's not lighter calorie and done for drinkability. It's just
no.
You don't get shit-faced after drinking it all the time.
But, I mean, I could drink 6 of these compared to like a 6-pack of like a good two-hearted or something.
Yeah, because you drink a 6-pack of two-hearted, you're pretty fucked up. You drink a 6-pack right. of those, you're just
peeing.
All right, cool. We got to go to the grocery store now. Well, it's all day.
You're just peeing.
You're just peeing.
Yeah, yeah. All day peeing. I'm not even drunk. I'm just pissing.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week.